is the Starting Five, and today on the Starting Five, we have a special season preview, and who else to do that with but the one and only from TSN and Raptors, well, actually NBA TV Canada now. He is Jack Armstrong. You know him. You love him. Jack, thanks for doing this, and welcome to another season of Raptors basketball.
James, my pleasure, and it's amazing how time flies. It's my 16th season doing Raptor games, and I can remember back in 1998 when I left coaching and getting hired at the Fan 590 along with Chuck Swirsky, and here I am 16 years later. So it's been a great run, a lot of fun, and hope to do it for a long time. It's been a wonderful experience.
Yeah, well, you know, you have developed a bond with Raptor fans that is totally unique and special, and I'm sure you get to experience that on a daily basis, really, because I do, just from saying you're going to be on and talking with me. So I imagine that happens for you as well.
Yeah, it sure does, and it's been a really neat experience, and honestly I thought 16 years ago when I started that I'd do it for a year and then get back into coaching. And, you know, it's just been one of those things where it started off kind of just to do it for the sake of doing it for a year. I had a year left on my coaching contract, so it was kind of like double dipping for a year. And, you know, you keep yourself at a good level of exposure, and you make a lot of contacts with different GMs and coaches and scouts across the league. And I didn't know if I wanted to go back to college coaching or get involved with, you know, some degree of pro scouting or coaching or whatever. And it just fit my lifestyle. It's been really good in terms of just being able to enjoy my family and have a great quality of life and not bring the wins and losses home with you. Because even when you're winning, it's just sheer relief. It's not ecstasy or joy or anything like that. And then the losing and the drama surrounding the job a lot of times is just, it wears on you. And, you know, so here I am and still having fun with it, and I get the best seat in the house, and I've had developed some great relationships and friendships over the years in it, and I'm still involved in the game, and I'm still around players and coaches and refs and scouts and GMs and fans and, you know, it's the best seat in the house. It's a really neat job.
We'll get to previewing the Raptors in just a sec, but you know who seems to be heading down that same road as you? Sam Mitchell.
I think that, you know, it's interesting. I'm doing a show tonight with Sam at TSN, and he and I spoke a lot about it last year when we did the NCAA tournament together. And
he did a super job, by the way.
Yeah, I think he could be really good at it. You know, and I think he's funny, he's very intelligent, he's well-spoken, he knows, obviously, the sport, he played it, he coached it, and he doesn't mind sharing his opinion. He's candid, and, you know, I think he's a natural at it, and I think he can be really good at it, and obviously, he's working with NBA TV in Atlanta, and doing some stuff here and there with TSN, both on TV and radio, and I find him to be refreshing, and he's just a lot of fun. You know, there is life after coaching. There is life after playing, and I didn't know that when I left coaching. You know, it was a hard experience getting out of it, and yet there's still other ways to be involved in the game. And I look at the fact that I coached college basketball for 14 years. I was a high school coach before that for 2 years. And here I am starting my 16th year, you know, in this. And, you know, so basically I've had two careers spanning 32 years because of that ball. And, you know, anytime I see a basketball, I literally should have a conversation with it and thank it, because that ball's given me my livelihood, and in two different careers. So it's been a neat experience, and I would recommend it to anybody if they want to do a career change.
Inspiring stuff. Now we get into the Raptors season, which I don't know how inspiring that talk will be, But when we last spoke, you had said you, for the first time in doing this, you really had no kind of grasp of what this team was or where it was heading. Do you have a better one after the preseason now?
Well, I think after the month of October and having a chance to observe the Raptors in a in their exhibition games and in a practice setting a little bit, a training camp, I feel a lot more confident in what I see. I have a better sense of what they are. And quite frankly, I think they're a team that I'm cautiously in a zone where I look at them and I go, you know what, if certain things go right, they could contend for a playoff spot. There's no doubt in my mind that they're top heavy, the significant impact guys, as is the case with any team, but even more so with this team. I think they're, right now, I wouldn't say they're very deep, but I do think that when you look at their top, seven guys, they're pretty good. And I think their starting five could be somewhere between good and very good. So I think as simple as this is, I think good health is going to be a huge factor in whether they can make the playoffs or not.
Yeah, and you had said the last time we spoke about the starters having to play 32 to 38 minutes probably, and there not being much depth. And pretty much the preseason, that's what we saw, I think. We didn't see a lot from the bench players other than Tyler Hansbrough's really fit in nicely with his team. He's really been the one guy consistently off that bench that delivered in the preseason.
Well, you mentioned 32 to 36, 38 minutes. I'd have to even increase that now. I'd have to say, every night the starters, they're going to have to give you, somewhere, 35 to 40 minutes a night, all five of them. I mean, that's just my feeling. And, then you look at the bench, it's a matter of who do you trust coming off the bench. And I think, when I look at the second unit right now, I have some concerns. I do think Landry Fields is starting to climb his way back and get more comfortable every day that he plays, and I've been impressed with him, as a second unit guy. I think Terrence Ross is showing more flashes. Now, will he be consistent? Will he be there every night? I don't think so yet, but I think we're going to have more nights this year that we see him play well, but he ain't there yet. And I think Steve Novak, we haven't seen a lot of him in preseason, but when he's healthy, we know what he could do. And I think he's a proven quantity, and I think he'll be a guy that will be reliable, respectable, professional three-point shooter. So those three guys, and then you mentioned Tyler Hansbrough. I agree. I think he's fit in very nicely. He's relentless. He's tough. And a guy that I think will not only make practices that much more creative and intense and lively, he will be a guy that brings this team together a little bit, because he's gonna stir it up a little bit. And there are going to be nights where these guys all have to come to each other's aid and have each other's backs. And I think that develops teamwork. I think that develops a camaraderie amongst the team. And I do like what he brings. My concern right now, beyond the four bench guys I've mentioned, is, what's going to happen at the point guard spot? To this point in time, nothing has blown me away, and I definitely have some legitimate concerns there. And we're not asking a backup point guard. I know Kyle Lowry's banged up, but he'd probably end up being the guy who's going to have to play the most minutes this year per game. I look at DJ Augustine and Dwight Bikes and Julian Stone even plays a few minutes there, whatever. Can these guys come in like a backup quarterback in football and manage the game? Don't lose it for you. Whatever you do, just come in, hit the ball to the right guys, and just be solid defensively. Make a few open shots, and that's it. If they can do that, I think the Raptors would be more than happy with that. And I think that's the might end up having to be like that old-fashioned baseball with pitches that have to go throw 200-plus innings in a year. You know, you look at a guy like Roy Halladay, you know, when he was in his prime, and, you know, he was a bulldog, you know, complete games, that type of thing. And I look at definitely a guy like Kyle Lowry, but even the starting five from that hockey perspective, having a double shift guys. If the Raptors want to be a playoff team, they're going to have to load up minutes with their starters, and in particular, that point guard spot is an area right now that I think we're all in that show-me mode right now, trying to figure out who's going to emerge as a backup and how many minutes you could actually trust given to any of them.
And how concerning is that injury for Kyle Lowry? Obviously, it's his non-shooting hand, but he is the point guard. He's going to handle the basketball a lot. And is it just a case of pain threshold with something like that?
I don't know yet until I really watch him in live action Wednesday night against Boston. I'll say this. You know, everyone's going to force him left to his weak hand. But there's a lot of great players like Lenny Wilkins, who could only go left, and Jerry West, who only went right. And those guys ended up in a good place, the Hall of Fame, and there's been a lot of other guys in that same regard. So, and I'm not putting Kyle in that category, obviously, but the bottom line is you find a way. And I think when you talk about pain threshold, I'm not a bit concerned with that. He's a tough cookie. He's got no back down in him. And he's a pretty resilient guy, and I don't think that'll be an issue at all. I just don't know how it will affect him. That I don't know. We kind of have to see it play out against Boston and Atlanta and Milwaukee in that first week, and see, you know, what impact it has on his game. But from a pain threshold, I have no concern with that. He's a tough guy.
And you mentioned Terrence Ross, and one of the things with Terrence Ross, I think there's a divide between the people that cover this team and the fans of this team when it comes to Terrence Ross. I think fans see all the dunks and they see the offense and all that, but what is it, the stuff that's missing that everyone else is seeing, for fans to kind of keep an eye for? Because I think Terrence, they've gotten all caught up in the hype and the dunks and the offense, and they see that and they go crazy. But obviously there's some other concerns that people are seeing on the other end of the floor, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah, I think with him, I think more than anything else, it's just the attention to detail. It's you know, doing the little things defensively, being in the right spots at the right time, not gambling, where it puts the defense in a position where now the other four guys are scrambling to make up for him, making an ill-advised decision. Just being fundamentally sound defensively and taking pride in playing his tail off on every play, not taking plays off. And I think that's a big thing with young players. They take plays off. You know, and the plays they take off are on defense because they think it's cool for their friends and the fans. They score enough points to stay in the game. And to Dwayne Casey's credit, you know, he's going to challenge this guy and hold him accountable on every play, not just on offensive plays. So I think when you look at him, and also he's got to be more responsible in terms of shot selection. You know, that it's not the volume, it's the quality, not the quantity. And making sure that he's an efficient player when he comes on the floor, because I saw last year there were times where he'd take some bad shots, and that would lead to runouts for the opposition, and now the Raptors are giving up an easy 2 points or a three or a dunk down the other end. So, you know, that to me is going to be a big thing. And, you know, we'll see if he has in his maturity to do that.
And almost to the opposite end of Terrence Ross is DeMar DeRozan. I think, without question, he was the most consistent Raptor in the preseason. He looks great. He seems to have a whole different attitude. He had some things happen in the offseason, having a daughter. And having watched this guy from day one, I really see the changes in him. He looks like a different guy on and off the floor.
Yeah, no, I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing. He's locked in defensively. He's a lot more geared into, you know, competing on every possession and, again, covering his assignments properly and just being sound. I think the added strength has helped him confidence-wise kind of exert himself physically. He's not overmatched anymore in matchups. I think offensively, I love the fact that he's added a lot more low post looks and touches to his game. I think he's developed a great deal of confidence, establishing position, holding his position on the catch, taking his time, and going to work in there and making good decisions, and attacking the defense, drawing fouls, and then even on the perimeter, putting the ball on the floor, again, attacking the defense, playing the city game, and playing to his strengths. I mean, I understand all this analytical stuff, and I respect analytics, and it definitely has a place in the game, and I think it's a wonderful secondary tool for evaluation when it comes to an individual player with a team. It's kind of like putting your sour cream or butter on the potato or a steak or pepper on your steak. You know, it's an additive. It's not the be-all, end-all, though. It's not the potato. It's not the steak. And I think when I look at DeMar DeRozan, he is a slasher. He is never going to be confused with Ray Allen, now or never will be. And I lived this, you know, with Vince Carter. When, you know, Vince Carter was a slasher, a dynamic player. And again, DeMar is not in Vince Carter's class as a player. But Vince Carter changed his game to suit, you know, the pressures of, hey, you got to be a three-point shooter. And Vince Carter has become a very good three-point shooter. But in my opinion, in some ways, it was at the expense of what made him great. He's been a very good pro, and on many nights, he's been a great pro. But I think it took away from him, from a consistent basis, of what made him great. And I think if DeMar can be just respectable from behind the arc, that's more than enough. If he can keep people honest on his distance shooting and be a guy that, based upon being respectable, now you got to legitimately guard him on it, then it opens up his whole game. But if he's going to spend his whole time worrying about that, I think it takes away from what he can do to really help you be an effective team. And, you know, so I think I like the fact that he's playing to his strengths, he's being a slasher, he's using the low post game, and he's attracting fouls, and he's maturing from a defensive perspective.
And he had a comment after the last game, and I think it was kind of one of those light-come-on moments for him. He said, you know, when he was younger, it was about what the defense was going to do to him. Now he feels like it's what he's going to do to the defense. And that is a whole different mindset.
That's a wonderful quote. And I'll take it a step further, James. I think he sees all 10 now. And, you know, it's funny, if you're an NFL fan, you know, middle of the week, you know, fans are able to look at all 22 on every play, and it's an incredible perspective of being able to evaluate the game, because if you're going to be really good as a quarterback in the NFL, you got to see the other 21 guys. If you're going to be a great point guard or a great player in the NBA in general, you got to be able to read the other 9. And I think what's happened now is the game has slowed down. He's seen all the different types of defenses. He understands the guy who's guarding him, what the guy's strengths and weaknesses are from a defensive perspective. He's seen different defensive coverages based upon his game. And I think now he just makes better reads. He understands where the double team's coming from, what the rotations are, where the shot blocker is, where the next pass should be going in the offensive sequence. So he's more confident triggering his move with all that in mind, because he understands the whole thing. And again, you know, what makes Tom Brady great? Well, obviously, he's got a gun for an arm, but he puts it right where he's supposed to. Why? Because he understands how to read not only his teammates, but he reads defenses. And I think for DeMar, being able to trigger his game not only in the mano-a-mano, me-against-you matchup, but what are the other eight guys doing on the floor while I got the ball and there's a guy guarding me? And the other thing about his game that I've been impressed with, he's doing a much better job moving without the ball. Too often, young players, they don't know how to do anything if they don't have the ball in their hands. If they have the ball in their hands, man, it's all, they got dribble moves, they got skills, they can shoot, all that stuff. But it doesn't carry over. And I think he's starting to now, when he doesn't have the ball, say, okay, I can't stand here. I got to cut. I got to space out. I got to be a response. I got to set a good screen. I got a release from that screen. Where am I going next? What am I doing next? And I think all those things, again, it's a sign of maturity. And last but not least, you mentioned the family situation and being a father, and I think that really settles you down. But on top of that, when you get a guaranteed long-term contract, you don't feel the pressure as much anymore. Now you know where you're going to be. You know what the money is. You're settled in. And now it's just all about basketball. There's none of the other nonsense.
I agree. And you mentioned, not like Ray Allen, but that was one of Ray Allen's traits, being able to run around like that and get through screens and stuff like that. But I want to flip to the other side of that equation with the wings. Rudy Gay, he's added about 20 pounds to him. He really seems to be having a hard time making that all work for himself. He looks a little different, and there was a lot of hype over the offseason. He'd had that surgery on his eyes. His shot was supposed to be better. He looks pretty much the same as far as his shot goes to me. It's not that he's been bad in the preseason, but I expected more, and I haven't seen it.
Well, I think he's shooting it a little better, and I think for him, to be honest with you, there are times that he's a great scorer, but there's times I think he's got to be more conscious of shot discipline, and I think they're going to have to reel him in a little bit at times, because you got to give Amir Johnson and Jonas Valanciunas some love. You know, you got to turn down maybe two shots and get those guys each an extra shot, because they're going to go to war for you on the defensive end, and they're going to rebound, and they're going to set screens for you. So, and I think if he does that, if he's a little bit more responsible in terms of his shot selection, I think you'll see his value and his percentages in terms of in the two-point range and in the three-point range improve. I think for him, it's shot discipline, quite frankly. Yes, he's gotten stronger, and I think that allows the Raptors the ability to go small and play Rudy at the four, and I think that strength's going to help him in post-up situations. I felt like he needed to get stronger. I think he got a little too big. But some of that's going to come off now as they keep playing every day. You know, I mean, he's not going to be able to maintain that size. So, it'll level out a little bit. My biggest concern with Rudy last year was the fact that when he would penetrate into the lane in a congested, confined area, he'd cough the ball up a lot. And, I've seen that a little bit even now in the preseason. If you've gotten stronger, you know, that should mean that when you go through those tight areas, you got to kind of rip the ball through. It's kind of like a running back in the fourth quarter of football. You can't fumble the ball. And if you fumble the ball, I can't give you the ball. And I think for Rudy Gay, he's going to be a prime-time fourth quarter guy for the Raptors, and he's going to track the second defender. He's going to put the ball down, and he's going to try to go through traffic. And he's got to be able to not only get to the hole, but get to the hole without the ball kind of squirting out. And I think that was a concern I had a year ago, that for him, just tightening up that handle, being stronger with the ball, being more efficient with the ball. But I think he's come back in good shape. And again, for me, it wasn't about October 1st, this shape. It's going to be about Wednesday night and beyond. And I think, it takes time to kind of get used to playing, with kind of a new body. And I think the adjustment will take place, and in time he'll find that level.
And we'll just touch on Amir Johnson briefly. I mean, he's the longest-serving Raptor, tied with DeMar DeRozan, and I really get the sense of, Amir says he never changes, but I get the sense of, this year he really feels more like this is his team more than I've ever seen in the past. He really seems at comfort with himself, and, you know, doing the same things on the court that we've always come to expect from him.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt, and he's one of my favorites. He and DeMar, you know, in terms of just they're great people. They care. They're good teammates. They're gentlemen, and I love to see both of those guys have success in Toronto in terms of winning. They deserve it. Those are the guys you root for. And Amir kind of has been a little bit inconsistent in the preseason. And I expect now he'll take it up a notch. And, you know, when you've been around the league long enough, you kind of know that you're pacing yourself a little bit in preseason. And particularly when you know you're going to play a lot during the season, you kind of ease into it a little bit. And I think I saw a little bit of that this year. And that's not a knock. That's just the reality. And that's a smart reality. But they're going to need his second, third effort, his great energy, his professionalism, and his tireless nature to help this team. And, I do think that there's a comfort level and a confidence level that he has now based upon his role, playing for Dwayne Casey for 3 years, that, he kind of knows what to expect and what he needs to bring on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's a good thing.
And two more things, and then we're going to wrap this up. First and foremost, Jonas Valanciunas, obviously going into his second year. Talk about what kind of a year he has to have. And then also the fact he's playing at the center position. And the Raptors really, other than Aaron Gray, don't really have much behind him. And when you factor that in with a young player, how that's all going to work out for them.
I'm not worried about that. If he stays healthy, I'm not worried about the backup five spot. There aren't a lot of teams in the NBA, James, I think you'd agree with me, that actually have a legitimate five. So, if a ton of teams had that and now you're at a decided disadvantage, I'd worry. Now, there are going to be nights, the Roy Hibberts and the Tyson Chandlers and guys like that where you're the Dwight Howards, that you say, oh boy, okay, we need our five man and he's got to be on the floor for 40 minutes. But, I'm a big believer you got to have guys that can help you win. And Valanciunas is one of them. And, I like the progress he's made. He's gotten a lot stronger. There are times he's looked a little tired to me in the preseason. And again, a lot will now really kick in for real on Wednesday against Boston. But he's looked like he hasn't had the same pop in his game that maybe he had a year ago. But I think that's from an extensive summer and a lot of activity. And hopefully he's able to catch his breath and he's ready to go when the ball goes up for real. But I think he's more confident. He's a lot stronger, not only upper body, but more importantly lower body, being able to drive his guy into the post. He's got to work really hard to get to his sweet spot and hold in his position and on the catch, having a move that he knows he's going to go to, and when it's taken away, having a counter to that move and being consistent and doing things to put pressure on the defense to draw fouls. He's a terrific free throw shooter. Do things to put the defense on its heels and get fouled and get to the line and get freebies. And honestly, they got to throw the ball to him. If you want him to be a tough guy defensively, if you want him to rebound, if you want him to be a good teammate and set good screens, this is on Kyle Lowry and Rudy Gay and DeMar DeRozan and Terrence Ross, guys like that. They got to throw him the ball. They got to play inside out, and they can't forget about him. It can't be 3, 4, 5 trips where he has no involvement. And I know Dwayne Casey will make a point of it to his perimeter guys that, hey, you got to involve the big fella, because we all know with big guys, you involve them, you give them a little bit of sugar, you give them a little bit of honey, they'll give it back to you in the other phases of the game. If you forget about them, you know, their defensive and rebounding energy wanes a little bit because they don't feel as loved. And I think it's natural. And you know, so it's important. I think if they involve him, you know, is he Hakeem Olajuwon or Kevin McHale in the post yet? No, he's not. He still has a long way to go to be an effective, consistent, night in, night out, low post scorer. But he's on his way. I mentioned this about Terrence Ross earlier. There will be more nights this year with Valanciunas where he will play at a good, productive, steady level, and on some nights really play at a high level. And there'll be the occasional dud. There's no doubt. He's not there yet, but he's getting there, and I think he's a stock. You know, am I going to buy that stock or sell that stock? I'm definitely buying that stock. I think, you know, it's on the way up. It's going to increase in value.
Is the biggest thing for him being able to stay aggressive and not get into foul trouble? Because you mentioned about playing the minutes, and I think he's capable of playing the minutes, but if he gets the fouls, he won't be playing the minutes.
Correct. And I think some of that comes from a respect from the officials. You know, and Dwayne Casey's talked to him a lot about, you know, kind of how Roy Hibbert guards, you know, and making sure that you got those arms straight up, but you're not sticking that chest in or the arms aren't reaching out into the offensive zone. You know, that you're really conscious of being sound fundamentally and not picking up silly fouls. And I think some of that last year was just basic cluelessness that most rookies have, and he doesn't know where to be, and he's a half step to a step slow on rotations. And, you know, so I don't think that, you know, I've used this example probably too often, but, you know, your first year you don't know that you don't know, your second year you know that you didn't know, and your third year you damn well better know. And I think he's at a point now in his second year where when Dwayne Casey says, Jonas, you're supposed to be there, he knows exactly that Dwayne Casey's going to tell him that. A year ago, he had no idea what Dwayne Casey was going to tell him. So he's able to correct himself. He's able to put himself. And I think that will help improve the fact that he will not get in as much foul trouble. I think that is going to really, really be a benefit to him a great deal. I think that he's on his way, and he's definitely going to be a much better player this year. And a guy that they can count on a little bit more. And here's the last thing I was going to say about him. The Raptors absolutely got to get off to a good start here, James. It can't be a 4-19. Excuse me. Can't be a 4-19 start to the season again. They got to get off to a good start, because the most important thing that does is not only develop a winning identity and confidence, but it develops respect with the three guys with the whistles in their mouth, the officials. And if you are a 500 team or better early in the year, the word spreads around the league, hey, you know what, Toronto's not all that bad. And you know what happens? You start getting calls. And if you remember that 4-19 stretch last year, there were a lot of calls that didn't go Toronto's way because Toronto was supposed to stink. And if you get off to a good start and have success, it helps your team and it helps a guy like Valanciunas. He'll get the benefit of the doubt from the officials, and I think that will help his game more than anything else.
And you were leading into my last question quite nicely there, because I think the million-dollar question for fans of this team is, how long is the window that this group has to perform? Because you mentioned the slow start, and I think there's no question, if this team gets off to a start of 4-19 or anything close to that, this team almost feels obligated to get in the mix for this draft class, given who's at the top of it and the actual depth of it. So how long does this group actually have? To me, I think you've got till January 1st. Show me what you have. Do you feel any differently than that?
I'd agree with that. I think that's a logical, reasonable assessment. I think Masai Ujiri, the new general manager, has shown himself to be a very patient, tactical, analytical guy, and isn't going to make any knee-jerk decisions. On the other hand, he's not going to allow it to fester either, you know, where it's, you know, the losing becomes habit and you just kind of go along the path of with the group you currently have. They got to get out of the gate good. And, you know, I know the schedule's tough, and I've made this point before and I'm going to make it again. I think early in the year, you know, you look at those first three games, you know, Boston, Atlanta, Milwaukee, you got to go 2-1 or 3-0. You know, you got to get off to the good start. You got to develop an identity. And if that means you got to play your starters extra minutes, you do it. And I understand all the discussion about developing a second unit, but I look at Chicago and the way Tom Thibodeau coaches, and he gets criticized for it, but he doesn't care. It's about winning. And I think for the Raptors, if this group is going to stay together, if this thing is going to be a playoff team, then they got to play their better guys that much more. And the second unit guys, too bad. You got to prove it when you get the limited minutes. I'm a big believer in less is more. The less guys you play, the more cohesive you are, the better your role definition is going to be, the better in shape those guys will get, and they'll be able to handle it. And the other thing is, you'll be a much more effective team in the fourth quarter when you keep those guys together for longer stretches. And I simply think that, yeah, you're going to have back-to-backs, you're going to have three games in 4 nights, 4 games in 5 nights. Well, you know, on days off, when you have practices, well then, you know, those guys don't practice as long, and they don't practice as hard. You know, you keep an eye on those guys. But I really think it's going to be important, but yeah, Valanciunas and Ross to develop, and the defense to be better, and healthy, and all those other things. But I think more than anything else, you know, the top guys got to perform at a very high level, and they got to be able to, number one, stay healthy, number two, stay out of foul trouble, number three, be able to log major minutes and be that much better conditioned and that much fitter. You know, instead of having a pitch count of 100 pitches, you got to be able to throw 120 pitches, and you got to come back and throw another 120 and another 120. And, yeah, you know, there's always a concern where you're going to break down, but I'd rather burn out than rust out.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think that's the mentality that I have going into this season. If you're not going to be a playoff team, then develop the second unit. And if you're not going to be a playoff team, this team's probably going to look a lot different by the time they get to the new year, based upon what you said.
Yeah, and absolutely. I think the one thing, because there is a portion of this fan base, and I'm not telling tales out of school by saying this to you, there's a portion of this fan base that wants Andrew Wiggins to be a Toronto Raptor. And for those people, you've got to understand, as far as Wayne Casey's concerned and the guys in that locker room, they're going to bust their humps to make sure that's not the case. And that's just human nature. But from the management side, I think it's on them to produce in these first couple months of the season.
No doubt. And if they don't, then, you know, Masai Ujiri has an obligation to the long-term health of the franchise to say, hey, wait a minute, we're not going to, you know, I'm not dealing with this again. This team hasn't made the playoffs in 5 years. If this is going to be a six-year not making the playoffs, then I'm going to turn every guy I can into a long-term asset. You know, so there's no doubt. I don't think there'd be anyone that would disagree with him. You know, so the key is going to be for this group, these 15 guys and this coaching staff, if they're going to be a playoff team, it's got to start now. It's got to happen in the month of November and in the month of December. And in particular, in November, they got to find a way to just to stay afloat. It can't become what it became a year ago. And I think, again, you know, I feel confident that they can be. I mean, my prediction for this team is that, you know, with good health, obviously, that they can be the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference with a record of 39-43. That's my prediction for the year. Now, obviously, if they get off to a bad start, we're not going to see 8th place, and we're not going to see 39 wins. But, you know, if they can find a way to get out of the gate, be respectable, and develop a little cushion and hang around, and, you know, then I think they have as good a chance as anybody. You know, we know who the top 5 teams in the East are. So it comes down to Atlanta and Washington and Toronto and Cleveland and Detroit. So those, to me, are probably the 5 teams that are going to knock around who gets those final 3 spots. So I think in that grouping of 5 teams, I think the Raptors have as good a chance as anyone else. But I think the tactics, you know, the direction that they're going with a new GM, a new CEO, and all that, and the whole pressure of Andrew Wiggins, they have to keep both the short term, this particular season, in mind, and just as important, the long term in mind, building a franchise that's going to be successful over the long haul. So it's a fascinating time, and I'm as curious as the next guy to see how it's all going to work out, and I can't wait for Wednesday.
Indeed, and absolutely the worst thing for this team, just a quick answer, is to finish 9th place, right?
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt. Either you're a playoff team or you're somewhere far away from the playoffs, one or the other.
Yeah.
You can't have, particularly with what's at stake this year with this draft class, it's either playoffs or you're busted. You know, you want to have a high. Obviously, you know, if you're not in the playoffs, you want the number one pick because of what it means. But if that doesn't work out and you're not in the playoffs, you want as high a pick as possible. But what you don't want is to be picking, you know, 12, 13. You know, I mean, because this thing, you know, this thing's got to get right, and it's a small window. And these guys got to prove that they're worthy of, you know, the trust of management and ownership that they're going to be a playoff team. Because, again, I think Masai Ujiri is going to really put a lot of stock in what he sees in the first 60 days of the season.
Indeed. And whether it be ping pong balls or playoffs, it is always fun talking with you, Jack, and we look forward to doing that throughout this season, and enjoy Wednesday night and the home opener, and we'll talk to you down the road.
James, my pleasure. Have a great night, and look forward to chatting with you soon.